Hello, my gorgeous psychic sister. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, beautiful? We are psychic sisters.
I mean, you know, this is me silently doing my little dance.
It's adorable. Forever and always are we psychic sisters.
Yes. How are you?
I'm fucking great. I can't talk about the details, but I got to have the best day with you yesterday, and I had so much fucking fun.
Oh my God, so fun. It was the absolute best day ever.
Best day ever. Yes, correct. I'm not going to argue that. It was fucking amazing.
And it ended in the best way ever with the fucking Cheesecake Factory.
Yes, which Monique and I both love.
Yes.
And this is why we're psychic sisters, because I had been thinking about proposing going to the Cheesecake Factory for 3 days, but I didn't text her because I was like, I'll just like ask her when I see her because I know she's going to be down.
I'm a planner, girl.
She sent me a text that said, dare we Cheesecake Factory?
I love a plan.
You're amazing.
You're amazing.
We're soulmates.
Of course.
And yeah, as soon as I got that text, I like burst out laughing and was just like, yes. This is why Monique is my person, because she's fucking down for cheesecake.
Always.
We don't even go for the cheesecake.
No, just for the good food and the good vibes.
Yes. Also, shout out to Eliza, who recommended the avocado egg rolls, which I'd never had there. And I was like, you know what? I feel like this girl knows what the fuck is up. And I had them and they were delicious.
I snuck an egg roll and they were absolutely correct.
So fucking good.
Yes. I love a Cheesecake Factory.
Love Cheesecake Factory. We also got to have quite a little road trip. We spent like, I want to say, almost 3 hours in the car together.
That's true. Yeah. It was just awesome across the board. No notes.
It really was. It's like all I can think about but can't really talk about. And I finally understand why Monique is apparently obsessed with the bones in my face. So,
girl.
I didn't get it. I always kind of thought she was just like being really nice to me for some weird reason about my face bones. But
I'm not nice. One.
You are.
Ask people who cross me if I'm fucking nice. I promise you, they have a different different take on that.
Fucking different story. Yeah.
But also just like, I don't see the point in lying to people. That's too much effort on my part.
Yes.
So when I'm like, girl, the fucking bones in your face are outrageous. And you're like, everyone has bones in their face. And I'm like, I understand that that's like factually medically correct. But no, they don't. And yours are outrageous.
Well, I believe you now. I believe you now. I had no idea why she kept telling me this. And now
she knows.
Now I get it.
There you go.
I'm never going to be like the kind of person who brags about the bones in their face. Like, my face bones are amazing, by the way, in case you
I would
like, can't
fucking
tell,
get but a fucking billboard and be like, bitch, look at these fucking bones in my face. Can you believe them? Because I fucking can't. Can you say genetically gifted? Yes, ma'am.
Oh my gosh. I absolutely adore you. You're so sweet. And again, I can't say
likewise.
Enough. I had so much fucking fun yesterday.
Oh my God. So fun. So great.
But yeah, that was the highlight of my week. I feel like I haven't like watched anything or done anything else. I've just been, one, looking forward to our day together and preparing for that. And two, now that it's happened, it's all I can think or talk about.
Same. I did finish Feud.
Yes. How was the ending?
It was great. And it was very Jessica Lange heavy, which everything should be.
She's wonderful.
Yeah. She just should be in everything.
Yes. The incomparable Jessica Lange.
Yeah. Which I just heard that she's coming to Broadway and I kind of can't handle my life about it.
Do you know what she's performing in or no?
It's on some mailer advertisement on my table somewhere.
Okay.
But I just saw Jessica Lange and I was like, okay, just take my money.
I don't I don't even care.
Nope, don't care. Just want to be in her presence. I want to breathe the same air that she's breathing. And hopefully that'll transform me into a better, more iconic person, because I think Jessica Lange has the power to transform.
Yes.
Not just herself, but everyone around her.
I believe that.
Just going to say it.
Yeah. She could literally be reading the phone book and I'd be like, sign me up.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing.
But yeah, that's kind of it. And I saw that in pieces because again, my limited time, but yeah, that's the only thing. It was really just preparing for our fun day together. and the insanity that is the next few weeks coming up.
Yes, which you're going to Mexico to
officiate a wedding.
Yeah.
People trusted me with that. What the fuck?
What can't Monique do? She can do whatever the fuck needs to be done.
I mean, it remains to be seen if I'll be like any good at it or if they'll be like, could you please
leave? Shut the fuck up. You're going to be amazing at it. That's literally why they asked you. Like, come on.
Thank you.
I was like, is there anything you're not amazing at? Like,
oh, plenty. Math. One.
Which is why you're not a mathematician. Like, you know your strengths. You know your weaknesses. Yep. Like, yeah.
I think that's really important to navigate a successful life is to know your strengths and know your weaknesses and then hire people to take care of your weaknesses for you.
Correct. See? Brilliant woman right there. And also, she broke all of our brains by revealing that portals were real last week. So,
yeah, what the fuck?
I'm still not over it.
No, never going to get over it until we're traveling through the portals ourselves, being like, see you in 15 and Saturn, jumping in a portal.
How about those rings? Amazing.
Ayo.
So do you want to jump right into it then?
Let's jump right in, girl. The water's fine because it is true listener tales time, baby. Yeah.
So excited. Our favorite episode every week, every month,
month and
every
a half?
6 weeks?
6 weeks.
Time has no meaning to me anymore.
And math is hard, girl.
Yeah, and math is hard.
I fucking love you. But yeah, let's jump right in. And I believe you are going to go first.
I'm going to go first. Amazing. So this one starts by saying trigger warning for basically everything. So brace yourselves. Okay. Yep.
Right out the gate.
I was living in Orlando back in 1990, 91, got caught up with crack. Went to the dealer's house to score a rock, and he let me in, saying his girlfriend was on her way back with it. There were about seven other people waiting. Girlfriend comes back and didn't have any, but a guy started saying she had done it herself or it was in her panties. Oh, no. This is not going anywhere good.
No.
The dealer freaked out and started, oh! Okay, I was not prepared. The dealer freaked out and started stabbing the girlfriend in the head with a screwdriver, ripping her clothes and demanding she give it up. She died in front of us, defecating and twitching, and he wouldn't let anyone leave for a long time, talking crazy and crying, going between how much he loved her and how much of a whore she was because she did all his crack.
Oh my God.
Jesus fucking Christ. Thank God they put the trigger warning for this one. I was still not prepared, but
yeah,
holy shit.
No.
I'm speechless right now. I was not prepared for this. I went from like an emotional high to an emotional low very quickly.
Seriously, though.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yelling at people while pointing the bloody screwdriver at whoever he was yelling at the whole time his girlfriend's body was sprawled out on the living room floor. He finally fell asleep next to her, and we snuck out as quietly as we could. I stopped smoking crack and hitchhiked out of Orlando soon afterwards. And that was from Anonymous. Anonymous.
Holy fuck. Shit.
The trauma, I can't imagine. I'm so glad you got out of there safely because dealing with somebody like that, like literally that could have just ended with seven people dying.
Yeah. I hope this person is arrested, murdered, something.
Fuck. That would be the moment I was like, I should stop doing crack as well. Yep.
Yep. You know, that's that'll sober you up real quick. I would imagine. Glad you're safe and out of that crazy shit.
Yes. Thank you for that story. I hope you turned your life around and everything is amazing for you now.
Yeah.
Because holy fuck.
Also, what a way to start it.
Right? With a fucking bang and a half. I can't.
Yeah, girl, we're in this for real, real, not for play.
Oh, my God.
I was in college in a debate club. I was a super nerd, I know. Same girl.
Love it.
Yep, I was in speech and debate in high school. State champ, what?
Why am I not surprised? Of course you fucking were. What'd I just say? You're fucking amazing at anything you put your mind to. Yes.
Thank you. To be fair, I was not in the debate portion of it. I was in the speech portion, which is basically just acting scenes. And I was in humorous duo interpretation.
I
did fucking crush that shit.
Love it. Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because you're fucking funny as fuck.
Thank you.
Yes.
And it's interesting because when you do speech and debate, when you do like duo interp and you're doing these scenes, you aren't looking at your partner. You're both looking out.
Weird.
Yeah. So you have to have your scene and the other and your partner's expressions memorized to the point that you can respond to them. You can even do like fun little like choreo. Like I remember watching a team like do like a grabbing someone by the collar and then like, but you know, you're all doing it facing forward.
Yeah.
Yes. I too was in speech and debate. I fucking loved it. So we're nerds together, girl. I don't know if you're a girl. I'm assuming that. I don't know. I girl everyone. Anyway, I was in a speech and debate club that had access to private rooms. They called them chambers. In two class buildings on campus, there was a long-running joke about a ghost being in the chambers because of the spooky noises the vents made in the middle of the night if you were studying there. But late one night, my boyfriend, now fiancé, and I were in one of the rooms studying, and as we walked down the building stairs to leave, we heard the sound of an eerie music box playing from a dark and completely empty hallway.
No, no. I got chills. There's something
same
about a music box and like children singing like dark children songs like Ring Around the Rosie in unison that just like,
yes,
put me on edge. I no, burn it down.
Yep. You're like, and I'm out.
Literally. I'm like lighting the match, setting it down. We're leaving. Thank you.
I know I wasn't crazy because we both heard it and bolted the heck out of there. I stuck to late night studying in the other building after that. A.
A.
Good choice for your life.
Yes.
Oh, I can't imagine.
No. That is one of those things though, that I would be so fucking happy that somebody was with me. So I'm just like, thank God there is validation that I am not going insane.
For sure.
Yes.
Totally.
Whew. Thank you, A. That was very creepy.
For sure. Thank you.
And like kind of a nice palate cleanser from the last story, I will say. Yes. I appreciate that. True listener tales are an emotional roller coaster.
As for sure.
Finding out. Yes. I had an out-of-body experience when I was in middle school. I was lying on my bed one afternoon thinking about napping, but not really sleeping. I rolled over onto my belly, and suddenly I was at the ceiling looking down at myself lying on the bed. This was not a dream. I was wide awake. There was a sort of vague cord running from the me on the ceiling to the me on the bed. Mm. I felt a floating sensation. It scared me, and I rolled back over, not knowing what would happen. When I did, I was back on the bed. I felt extremely heavy and vaguely like something was missing. I didn't tell anyone about it for a very long time, and I'm still not sure what I think about it. And that was from Jennifer. Jennifer!
Dude.
That's so creepy, but also really cool.
Yeah. It reminds me of a story that Deb, RIP, submitted, I think, for our first ever True Listener Tales.
It was a while back, yeah.
Yeah, that she also had like an out-of-body astral projection experience when she was young.
Yes. And she like, I want to say left her house completely and then like came back.
Yeah, like looked in like her neighbor's windows and saw what they were doing. And then the next day was like, oh, were you watching this and doing this? And all of them were like, yeah.
Are you spying on us? What's going on? Yeah. And she was like, yeah. And just like astral projected into your living room. NBD.
Yeah, it's I'm just very fascinated by that concept.
Same, especially when it's not in sort of a near-death experience. Mm-hmm, because I feel like that's very common. And obviously everyone chalks it up to your brain responding to the stress and the trauma. But when it's just you're
just hanging
in
out.
Bed and you're hanging out and then all of a sudden you're not, or you can see your body from above it, like that's always deeply fascinating to me.
For sure.
Thank you for that, Jennifer. I really liked that.
Thank you so much. Oh my God, amazing. I went hiking Blood Mountain on the Appalachian Trail. Automatically, red flag, terrified.
Yes, it's called Blood Mountain. Don't go there.
Don't go there.
It's like Death Valley. Like, you know what the fuck is up.
yeah, go to like Rainbows and Puppy Mountain. You're like, that sounds great.
Oh my, I would live there. Where is this? Somebody rename something this. This is amazing.
I love it. On the peak, there was this weird guy. He had a big knife and a dog. Everyone got weird vibes from him, but he seemed nice enough. About a week later, some news report goes out about a missing hiker, Meredith Emerson, that disappeared on the trail. The story developed, and it turns out that this dude I met on the mountain, Gary Hilton, kidnapped and murdered her. Spooky. Anonymous.
Full body chills.
Girl.
Oh my God. Oh, thank God you got out of there.
Oh my God, for sure. Did you see the HBO doc? I think it's called They Called Him Mostly Harmless.
No.
So it's about this guy who gets found in Florida in like the Everglades. And they find his body in a tent that he had been living in. And he is emaciated to the point that he's like 85 pounds or something.
Damn.
But he has food in the tent with him. So it's like, who the fuck is this dude and why did he die? Like, it's almost like he was intentionally starving himself because he had food with him. So it's not like he didn't have any food.
Yeah.
So there's this whole thing about like trying to find out who this guy is. And apparently when you're hiking, I obviously would not know this because it involves being in the woods. Whenever you come across people, you like take pictures with them and you get a trail name.
Interesting.
So you don't like introduce yourself as like, I'm Monique. It'd be like, I'm Mostly Harmless. And there's like a story about it. Like apparently the guy originally, his trail name was Denim because the first time he was seen, he was wearing jeans while he was hiking, which is also like a weird, like, what the fuck? So then people started calling him Denim and that was his trail name. But apparently it's just very common that when you meet people on a trail, you like interact with them, you talk to them, you ask them if they need anything. There are people who even aren't hiking who are known as like trail angels, that they'll like leave like bottles of water or provisions in like different spots on a trail so that you can just like, if you come across it, you can pick up, or if you need like a ride into town to like drop something off at a post office, they like go out of their way to like help you out.
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah, totally. So when I read this, it's like, oh, like you kind of, you aren't just like, fuck these people. You kind of always talk to the people that you come across.
Yeah.
And it's very common for you to take pictures just to like kind of like almost have a record of like everyone you encounter while you're hiking, which I did not know any of, obviously.
Interesting. So did they ever find out what happened to the guy, why he starved? Was there some connection with the pictures? Like people had seen him before this?
They found out who he was because basically several Facebook groups started being like, hey, like who's this person? And then multiple people started like sharing like pictures that they'd taken with him over the last like, you know, however many years. And then they finally find out who he is and that the guy was a total fucking dick, which was unfortunate because the, you know, moderators of these Facebook groups had romanticized him of like, we need to find out who he is. And it's like, this guy's like a top tier piece of shit.
Of course.
From what I understand, the medical examiners kind of totally botched the autopsy because they didn't really give a fuck about this person.
Okay.
But it's not known whether it was suicide or intentional or what. They found like a couple Tylenol that had been in his system within the last like 72 hours. But it's not known why he was kind of on the lam. I don't know if that's the correct term to use, but like why he had kind of just disappeared because he was someone who worked in tech and why he died, especially since he was so emaciated. And so many people who had come across him initially were like, yeah, he was very like well-fed. Like he was, you know, more of a plump dude. So that mystery was kind of never resolved as to why he died.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. That story sounds familiar, but I don't know that I necessarily saw the documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on Max.
Okay. An unsolved mystery.
There you go. Which is just a mystery.
As we've established. All right. On to our next story. I have motion detectors in my house, and one day I was walking to my dad's girlfriend's house and my burglar alarm went off. The police came to my house to find out that my dad's motion detector went off in his room when no one was there. Mm-mm. My dad thought it was a defect, so he had the alarm system replaced. A few days later, the motion detector went off in his room again. Mm-mm. So he replaced it once more. And when it happened again, we gave up and thought it was probably my mom, who passed away when I was younger, haunting us because everyone hated my dad's new girlfriend. It was probably a sign, LOL. And that was from Daniela.
I love that.
Daniela, that was so great. I loved that. And I love that your mom would just be like, hi, I'm just like showing up to be like, ew, this bitch. But I'm not really going to like fuck your lives up or anything.
I'm just going to make my presence known.
Yes.
I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. Yeah. You know?
Such mom energy. I love it.
For sure. Thank you so much for that. What a great story. Yes,
thank you.
I also just appreciate how it's not scary in any way.
Yes.
It's just like, so you know. I was taking care of an elderly patient as part of my job when one day she said to me, get these two men out of my room. She also said, they've come to take me away.
No. Chills.
Girl. She was acting confused, which wasn't normal for her. Other than that, she seemed okay. I went home shortly after. I learned the next day that she died about 20 minutes after I left. Richard
Fuck.
C. Oh, all the chills.
Richard, yes. I didn't know the Grim Reaper came in pairs. Like, he's got an assistant now?
He's, you know, expanding, diversifying.
Okay.
Oh, that's so creepy.
Yeah, that would fuck me up. That would fuck me up big, big time.
Yeah, I would hope that it's like that, you know, like the nice, like, light and chorus of angels or whatever.
Yes.
Fuck, you know, it's like to welcome you and not be like, I don't want to go with you. Like, oh my God, can you imagine your last moments being alive? Like, that's what it is.
No, God, I hope not.
I hate that. I don't like that.
No. Knowing me, though, I'd be like, oh, two creepy guys. Like, where are we going? Cool.
I love it.
My 3-year-old son was trying to take a picture of me. He didn't realize the camera was backwards. He took several photos within seconds of each other. I grabbed the camera back when he was done and started erasing the photos to make space. The first two images were blurry duds. But when I got to the third picture, there was a startling face behind his. I've never seen this person in my life, and we were the only two home.
Mm-mm.
Oh my God.
No, thank you.
That was from Lori M. Lori.
Moving out immediately.
Yes.
Minimum priest party.
Yes. Also, minimum. Your bath time is going to be in holy water tonight. Sorry, kid.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh, that would fuck me up.
Mm-mm. That's not okay. So this story is from Lee.
Hey.
Hey. Who submitted the last couple True Listener Tales. Welcome back, Lee. Always a pleasure to have you.
Yes. Great stories, always.
Always. This story is maybe not quite as impressive as the first two I submitted, but very, very vivid in my memory. And I know that children are sometimes prone to flights of fancy, but I also think that children are very open to the spiritual world because they're willing to believe or they're willing to see things for how they are, or they're not jaded by the cynicism of the world, et cetera, et cetera. But when I was still growing up in Colorado, living with my mother and my stepfather, it was a beautiful Saturday afternoon, and I came into the kitchen, and my mother and stepfather were at the sink washing and drying some things in conversation. And I saw this very well-dressed gentleman in a 3-piece suit with grayish hair and twinkling eyes, and he was leaning against the ovens. We had 2 ovens, an upper and a lower oven, and he looked at me, and I looked at him. And I smiled, and he smiled. And I just looked at him for a while. And I finally turned to my mother and said, are you going to introduce us to our guest? And of course they said, to whom? And he wasn't there. And the ovens were on. Lee.
Oh, my God. I have chills, and they just, like, won't go away. Like, they're still...
Girl.
They're still here. All the goosebumps right now.
Girl.
At least he seemed nice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm down for like a not creepy, scary thing.
Yes.
Situation happening.
Lee, your stories are so good, always.
They're so good. Thanks so much for submitting.
Yes.
They're the best.
I fucking loved that. And I'm not going to lie, like shit like this is, it sounds insane. And I can never tell this to people when they ask me like, oh, like, why don't you want to have kids? It can't be like, because I'm afraid they're going to say some shit like this to me. And then I'm going to have to deal with either my house being haunted or my child being possessed. Like, no.
I'm not properly equipped to deal with this. Dr. No. Spock does not have a fucking chapter in his book about how to fucking deal with this.
Definitely not. I would just like awkwardly laugh from and then get the fuck out and be like, you're going to stay with your grandma.
Bye.
Thank you so much for that, Lee.
Thank you so much.
That was great.
You always have the best stories.
Seriously. Okay, this is my last story. When I was a sophomore in high school, I saw bank robbery. Ooh.
Fuck yeah. That's metal as fuck.
Fucking awesome. Yeah.
Yep.
My dad parked right in front of the bank, got out, and went inside. About 15 seconds later, this guy comes running out, pulls off his mask, and just keeps running. I see the tellers lock every door. My dad goes to the door and beckons me over, tells me the guy was a bank robber. I tell them I got a good look at him. The teller slipped me some paper through the door, and I wrote down his description. Cop shows up about 3 minutes later, yells at me to move away and get on the ground. I give my description, and I go on my way. About a month later, they showed up to my school in full uniform and take me out of class. They had a picture lineup they wanted to show me, and I ID'd the guy. When I went back to class, no one would shut up about it. They kept asking me why the cops pulled me out of class, and the only answer I gave them was, I'm not at liberty to disclose that information. I was the school badass for a while after that. And that was from E. E!
Fuck yeah, you're a badass.
That was the best answer ever. I fucking love that. Touche.
Fuck yes.
That's really fucking cool.
I loved everything about that.
Yes. I was not nearly this cool in high school.
I'm not nearly that cool now.
I mean, well, same facts.
You know, fuck. I love that though. I love everything about that.
So fucking cool. And you fucking caught a bank robber.
Girl, kudos to you. Who's winning at life? E, clearly.
Yes. By just looking and being perceptive.
Exactly.
Amazing. I would have had my head in a book if my parents went into the bank. So I would have seen nothing. I would have been like, I can tell you what happened in this chapter if you want. But like, no. My bad.
I love it. Oh my God. So this is the last story for our episode, and I'm going a little bit rogue because I'm going to tell you my own personal true listener tales.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I didn't know this was happening. You crafty bitch. I love it.
Yeah, I realized we took a two-week hiatus last year, and this happened during that time. And I never talked about it on the pod. So going to talk about it now. As I mentioned before, you guys know that I work at a bar and it's a very small bar. And I'm the only employee who works there when I'm working, open and close. There's no busboy. There's no security. There's no bouncer. It's me, open and close. And I do all of the things. And that's every bartender who works at this bar, whatever night they work. So about 9 months ago, this really creepy, scary thing happened. It was a Saturday night around 10 p.m., and this guy came into the bar. And my bar is really well known for that the first two-thirds of the night is kind of very chill, very date night type of vibe. And then the last third of the night, it turns into a 90s sing-along dance party, which is a thing that I'm running.
And amazing at, and it's so much fun.
Thank you. Yes. It's so fun. It's so fun. And things don't really get started there till about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night is really when the bar really packs out, and then it just becomes a magical 90s realness. So it was about 10 p.m. on this one Saturday night, and this guy came into the bar, and it was still kind of slow when he did. And this guy, he was like a bit awkward and quiet and kind of shy, but there was like something a little bit off about him. He had like a little bit of like an incel type of vibe to him. So he sat at the bar, he ordered a Pilsner, and I gave him his drink and he paid me in cash. Then he proceeded to pull out a Bible.
Oh.
Open it and read it at the bar while he drank his beer. Which, whatever, live your truth, do you. As long as you're not a dick, literally don't give a fuck. So he finished his beer and then he ordered white wine. And he asked me how much it was. And I guess because he didn't have enough cash on him, he gave me his card. I opened a tab for him, gave him his wine, and he went back to reading his Bible. All the while, the bar is starting to fill up. And at around 10:30, 10:45, the bar was completely packed. And everyone was singing and partying and just having a great time, except for this one dude who was just like not engaging, which, again, fine. This bar and this vibe are definitely not for everyone. So the tunes are playing and the whole bar is singing Whitney Houston's I Have Nothing, which is an iconic song if you are not familiar. And the thing is, I'm also leading this party vibe. I'm also singing. I'm like getting everyone into it. Like that's, again, the reason people come to this bar. Again, everyone's having a great time. And we're basically towards the end of the song. And this guy fucking snaps. He gets up and he starts screaming at the entire bar.
What the fuck?
Calling us all motherfuckers and saying that he's the one who has the loudest voice in the bar. And it was one of those things that obviously caught me off guard. And that when I finally like realized what was happening and I just saw how sudden it was and just how angry and violent he was, that I was like, oh, fuck. Like he definitely had the type of vibe of someone who just like shoots up a place.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, what the fuck do I even do with this? And by the time I processed that, luckily for me, one of my regulars who's an ex-Marine was there and without even like saying anything, literally just like grabbed the guy and like took him outside. Like, nope, you're done. Get out.
Love that.
Which I was like, oh my God.
Thank God. Yeah.
Thank fuck. Thank you, God. Oh my God. But it was such a like, what the fuck just happened? And it was such a weird thing because the bar that I work at is in Hell's Kitchen, which is basically a gayborhood. And it was like this, he went out to this gay neighborhood at 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday. It was almost like he was
like he wanted the confrontation.
He wanted a confrontation.
Yeah, for sure. Especially like if you're reading the Bible, it seems like you want to say something, and especially say something to gays who are just trying to live their lives about how they're somehow disrespecting God, which is fucking bullshit.
For sure. And it was like he had this type of anger in him that I've never – I don't think I've ever experienced in my life, that it was like this like anger that it was like, how fucking dare you women and gay men take up space and be loud. It was like that – it like literally gives me chills just remembering it.
I know what you're talking about, and that's you know? So fucking scary, especially that like turning on a fucking dime – situation. Yes. Where like 1 second you're quiet and reading and it seems like everything's fine, and then you are basically at the level of being murderous. No.
Yes, absolutely. So he leaves, thank fuck, doesn't come back. It's a little weird for a little bit, but then we like get back into it and everyone's has a great night, close the bar, fantastic. So at my job, we have, it's like Slack that, you know, the owners and the employees are all on it, and it'll be like, that's where like, you know, any notifications about like, hey, we have deliveries coming these days, or like, you know, these people have been 86'd, blah, 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 whatever. So I post a thing being like, hey, this thing happened tonight. It was very creepy. It was very scary. This is this guy's name. So if you see a tab that comes in with this guy's name on it, do not serve him. Ask him to leave. And if he won't leave, like call the cops immediately. So my boss messages me privately being like, oh my God, I'm so sorry this happened to you. Are you okay? And she's like, what's his name again? So that we can look for him on like social media or whatever to see if we could find a picture of him.
Yeah,
to like
smart.
Put on this so like everyone will know what he looks like. So she looks for him and then I look for him and I do a Google search and right at the top, there's an article from Louisville, Kentucky from 2016 that pops up.
No.
And the first line of it is, a man has been charged with assault after an unprovoked attack left another man with serious arm injuries.
Fuck.
And I'll just read you the rest of the article. Eric W. Medley, which is who was there, 34, of Louisville, was arrested around 10:25 p.m., again, around the same time as all this happened with us, on March 22nd. Louisville Metro Police said the attack happened about 3 hours earlier when Medley stabbed the victim in the left forearm. Medley's arrest report says the victim suffered 2 severed tendons.
Ooh, fuck.
Girl, witnesses told police that Medley came out of his home and stabbed the man, and the victim did nothing to provoke him.
Fuck.
Bond for Medley was set at $50,000 cash. He was scheduled to be arraigned this morning at the Louisville Metro Corrections courtroom. So I don't know what was the I couldn't find what was the outcome of that situation, but I do know, as per his LinkedIn, that he does not live in Louisville anymore, but works at a university in the Bronx.
No.
Mm-hmm. And I told our local patrol officer his name, and he said that he ran his name through the database and that he hadn't been arrested or convicted of anything in New York. So at least there's that. And luckily, I have never seen him again. But that was a super scary incident that happened with the guy who just stabbed someone in Louisville who was at my bar and flipped the fuck out.
Holy fucking shit, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think you told me the story either. This is insane.
Yeah, it was really terrifying.
Yeah. Terrifying before finding out about the stabbing. And like once you find that out, I feel like it colors your view of the previous incident.
And what's kind of funny about the situation is I had started seeing my boyfriend like a few weeks earlier. And the day before this incident happened, I had a horrific day at work. I had like awful like 22-year-olds who were like the fucking worst. It was one of the worst days I've ever had at work. So that happened. I told my boyfriend about it. The next day happens, this crazy shit happens. So the following day, he texts me being like, hey, like, how was work today? And I was like, well, this like really scary thing happened. I was like, but other than that, it was great.
Oh my God.
And then I felt really bad because I was like, I feel like I'm giving a really wrong impression of the place I work at because it's actually really lovely. And there's a lot of really lovely people who come in here. And these are just two wildly out of character incidents that have happened here in a very short span of time.
Yes. Fuck, dude. That's crazy. I'm so glad your Marine regular was there to help with the situation. And I'm just so glad everyone is okay and you're okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Even if the person threw him out, like it seems like there was a high probability that like he would have come back and done something.
For sure. And the other thing that totally struck me was my regular who's a Marine is a, you know, straight, cis, white male. And he threw him out. And there was no argument about it. There was no, fuck you, like, why, get your hands off me. It was just like, oh, okay, another man has told me to leave. That's fine. I respect another man.
That's so fucked up. But I'm sure you're correct on that because that does seem like the vibe that if like you had tried to throw him out and been like, no, I'm the person who's working here and gets a say in who is served and who is not, and I'm saying you need to leave, like that would have insulted his fragile masculinity and he wouldn't have been able to handle that.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's our true listener tales that ended with me going a little rogue.
I love when you go rogue though. That was so good.
Thank you.
Thank you for your story, Monique.
For sure.
I totally was expecting it to be a paranormal thing. I didn't know it was going to be you in a dangerous situation and dealing with a man who stabbed someone in Louisville.
That's that kind of thing. Like when you hear stories about people being like, I had this incident and then I saw like the person's face on the news, and I was like, what the fuck? Or
yeah,
I knew that, you know, and it was a kind of thing that happened to me not that long ago. And I was like, oh shit. And I just felt like, you know, I had lots of people watching out for us, whether it's God or the Marines, Semper Fi. Fuck yeah.
Ayo, yes.
Ayo.
That's so fucking scary, though.
Yeah, it was real scary.
Well, again, I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you. Me too.
And I loved that story, as disturbing as it was. And I wish that didn't happen to you, but I'm glad you shared it. And I love you. I'm glad you're okay.
I love you. Thank you so much. And thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes.
This is another fucking horror podcast. I'm Monique Sanchez.
And I'm Amy Traden.
You can find me on the gram at pinupgirlmo.
You can find me at lobotomy, and that's labot period Amy.
Follow the show on the gram because we have a lot of fun things dropping in the next few weeks, so you don't want to miss it. We're at another fucking horror podcast. Every sixth episode, which is this episode, we do a True Listener Tales episode where we read you your true crazy stories. So if you have one or you just want to say hi, email us at anotherfuckinghorrorpodcast@gmail.com with a period instead of the U in fucking. Guys, we are so hard at work getting all sorts of cool, fun things ready for you. And because of that, we are going to take next week off. But just because there isn't going to be a new episode doesn't mean that we aren't hard at work bringing you stuff that we know that you're going to absolutely love. So thank you so much for understanding and for being patient with us. We are so obsessed with you. And remember, keep it cute.
Keep it creepy.
Bye.